Are you ready?
Yep.
Yep. Are you ready?
Yep.
You sure?
Yep.
Are you really
Yep.
sure?
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God. Welcome to another episode of Pew Time with Tony.
And Jackie.
Another
late night slap happy session.
Yes. Thank you
all.
Strap
in.
Strap on. What?
Strap in.
Oh, on. In. In. Strap in.
This is Pew Time After Dark.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Gun news.
Shall we jump in? Yes,
yeah,
gun
we,
news.
Let's jump in.
So, Franklin Armory.
Armory.
That's not what the notes say.
Since when do you read things phonetically?
I don't know. The shitty part is, I'm the one that wrote this note.
I know. Why did you look at me?
Franklin Armory finally releases their binary upper for the Glock 17. So this is finally out. I believe it was at SHOT Show 2 years ago is when they started talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole upper slide assembly. And this has a switch on the left side of the gun near the rear by the striker to operate binary or single fire.
Where a Beretta safety would be.
Where a Beretta safety would be or the switch for a Glock 18.
Mm-hmm. Nifty.
Yes. You can get it for the low, low price of $900.
This is not a complete gun. This is just the upper.
This is just the slide.
Yeah, it's that upper.
No barrel.
Assembly. Really?
No. No barrel.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Now I gotta double check, but I'm pretty sure I saw just the barrel.
Just the slide?
Yeah, that.
Here we go.
Yep. All right, buy now. Oh, I'm sorry. It is the slide with selector and a trigger group.
But no barrel and no frame.
No. It is optic ready, though.
Well, that's fucking Butterbee. 900. Oh, I guess if I had 900 to throw around, it'd be fun to play with.
Not to be installed on 80% frames. Okay. So, this thing, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of cool, right? You know, mm-hmm. It gives people access to have their own version of a Glock 18-ish.
Mm-hmm.
This is like almost an 18, so what would we call that? We can't call it a 17.
And a half.
No, can't be a 17 and a half.
Because a full 18 is full auto.
No, but you figure if it's not full auto, and it's binary, that's half as cool.
Which would be between the 17 and the
18. So it would be a Glock 9.
No, 17 and a half.
Glock 9.
It'd be 17 and a half.
We're going to put a poll up tomorrow. What should a binary Glock be? Either a Glock 9, because it's half as cool as an 18. Or, what did you call it?
A 17
and
a half.
Yeah. You can't say 17.5, because that's how people designate what generation Glock they have. Oh, I have a 17.5 for fifth gen.
Who the fuck says that?
All over the internet.
Nobody says that. Nobody says that.
You live under a rock.
Nobody says 17.5.
Yes, they do. Hey, what gen do you have? 17.3. When you look, what are these parts for? It'll say 17.3. 17.4.
Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous.
Don't you work behind a gun counter?
I do, but that's not the same as being a keyboard commando and reading forums all day.
Did you just call me a keyboard commando?
Yes.
I am not a keyboard commando. I read a lot. I don't type a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. I read. I observe. It's like people watching.
You're a surf sorcerer.
A what?
Surf sorcerer.
No. No. I'm a surfing sergeant.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
Thank God. Anyway.
17 and a half.
It's not. You get the trigger group, the upper sights. Looks like it's a complete upper minus the barrel and the recoil assembly. I kind of want to mess with one. I think it'd be kind of fun.
I do too. I would like one. I wonder if they... Do they have them available for, like, the 19s as well? Or
no.
just
literally
the
just the 17 Gen 3s right now.
Okay. Well, there is another gun out, which, when you told me about this...
You thought I was joking.
You gave it to me in suspense, right? bits and pieces, you'll never guess, Here I'm thinking, like, it's got to be something, like, way crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not way crazy, but it's beyond the norm, I suppose. The Taurus Judge Toro. And if you recall, their Toro guns on their line stand for Taurus Optic Ready Option. So this is a Taurus Judge that is optic ready. 3-inch barrel, 29 ounces unloaded, 2.5-inch chamber for shells, and MSRP between $615 and $679. Do you want to explain the price differences?
Black and stainless.
Black and stainless. Would you get one?
I don't know if I would do the judge. Mm-hmm.
If the Smith & Wesson Governor came optic ready, would you get it?
I'm not sure.
I know you would rather have a Smith revolver than a Taurus revolver.
Really, because I just get an extra shot. I mean, I think the judge is cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. I do want to pick up one of their smaller compact revolvers.
Like the 856?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first time I ever shot the judge was with you in Dallas at the AccuSport show. And
R.I.P. AccuSport.
Yeah. So sad. Oh, such good times. We love you, Sean.
Yes.
And I don't remember what cartridge was that I used for the 45 Long Colt, but when I shot the 410, it was the Winchester PDX Defender rounds when they first came out. It was like the introduction of the round. So 3 copper plates followed by 12 BBs, and I still, like, get so excited when I get to explain to people, like, what the PDX Defender is in 410 or 12-gauge or whatever cartridge they're looking for, like, what it is and how cool it is. I think just the excitement on my face, like, everybody I tell, like, oh, this is what it is. They're like, I'll take 2, 3. How many do you have? Like, and they get all excited about it. So it was a super cool cartridge, but that was my very first time ever shooting it.
Yeah, I was skeptical on it when I shot it. I was like, it's not going to do this. And he looked at it, he's like, oh, it's 3 holes followed by a lot of BBs.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Super cool. Super cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was only a matter of time before the judge got the Toro treatment, right?
Right.
I mean, they're Toroing all the shit out here.
Yes, they are.
So.
I do believe that is it for gun news.
Yep, and we had no shooting sports news.
No, and we're going to see less and less over the next handful of months.
We'll see match announcements.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll shoot our kind of local indoor winter ones. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this winter to mess around with some of the project guns.
All of the project guns are going to get touched this winter.
And I'm going to take some of the more competition-focused project guns to matches.
Which is very exciting. I actually decided against shooting next Sunday because there is a local.
I may not be shooting either because I might have a class now.
Shameful. Shame.
Is it though?
Did you already sign up?
I did.
Oh, better get on that withdrawal, buddy. Well, I am not shooting because...
You're a wuss.
I am very against being miserable while trying to have a great time.
Right. You know what they call people like you? Fair weather shooters.
That's fine. I go out to shoot to have fun. I do not want to be miserable while attempting to have fun.
Uh-huh.
40% chance of rain. How miserable were you at the corn maze? There was still less time out there than less time out there than I would be at a match.
Chattering teeth, and she's holding the map, and I don't remember the lines being this squiggly when we started. It's because her hands are shaking.
I was shivering a little bit at the beginning, but once I got that funnel cake in me, I think it was the sugar. It just, took over and got me all jolty and shaky, and, I mean, not because that's cold, but, like, sugar shaky. It was fantastic. If you've never had a loaded funnel cake before, it will change your life.
It'll also change your blood sugar levels.
So good.
That's it for gun news. Again, you guys killed it for questions. So what we've been doing lately is the day that we're going to record, which is usually on Mondays, we put up a post. This one happened to be a picture of our high power. and we asked for questions. And you guys have inundated us with questions again.
I'm very much looking forward to some of these.
Yeah, I can't wait. This is becoming like my favorite part of the show. So, shall we jump in?
Yes. Could being fasted during a large match hurt performance? And we're talking about, like, food fasting, like liquid only diets, like going into a match, a major match.
So I guess we should start off this. We're not doctors, licensed nutritionists. Clearly, I'm not.
This is not medical advice.
Right. Seek a doctor. But what I will tell you, as someone who has experience fasting, and actually, come to think of it, I fasted for the first half of a match, because right about halfway through a match is when I would normally break a fast anyway, and I feel really depleted halfway through a match. Is actually the best placement I've ever had, which was at the Northern Illinois when I took third.
Mm-hmm.
I shot the entire first half of the match fasted.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't do it like, oh, this weekend I'm going to try it.
Right.
Like, I fast majority of my mornings
mm-hmm.
are fasted. So, I'm used to it. But I would not try it. And it really just depends on you.
And what duration of fasting, right? Because if you're doing like a 16:8 or a 24, whatever it is that you're doing, if you've never fasted before, it's not a great time to try it
right at
a match. Know how your body responds to the different lengths of time. You know, if at 16 hours, you need to know, like, you have to, like, definitely hydrate. Like, you have to drink more water than you thought you had to drink if you thought you were drinking enough water already. Like, so much water.
Well, and salt. You got to make sure that you're getting electrolytes in somehow, mm-hmm. especially in a match setting. But also, probably more important than how your body reacts fasted is how you feel your body the night before when you start your fast with the food that it's going to be using for fuel during the match the next day.
Right. So, like, a pizza as your last meal prior to fasting, not good.
High protein, higher fat would be good.
And healthy fats. So not just like, throwing butter in a pan and putting your steak on it. That's not fat and protein that you should be having, like avocado.
I mean, butter is good fats, actually. I mean, it's mountain climbers, like the big guys that go like to scale mountains,
mm-hmm.
they eat butter and bacon. Because it's a very long-lasting fat.
I was more so referring to, like, the health benefits of, like, avocado.
Oh, yeah.
The omegas. I mean, you're not getting omegas in butter.
Right.
It's just fat.
But it's fuel. Like, in it a fastest is. State, that's what you're using as fuel.
Right.
So if you have more fuel, probably the better you'll feel the next day.
Right.
Again, it's something, do a bunch of trial runs on it and see how you feel.
If you are doing a longer than 24-hour fast, I would definitely do a few trials with it. Like, if you're doing like a 48 or 72, we did a 5-day fast once.
Yeah, I did it twice.
Oh, yeah. And we've done a handful of 3-day fasts mm-hmm. and 24-hour fasts. So try out, like, if before you actually do that extreme fasting in a match setting, trial it out, midweek or so, or the weekend before the match, and do the same length of fasting, but during the time you'd be at the match, do a workout. Like, if you're going to be 30 hours into your fast when the match starts, 30 hours into your fast, do, like, a really intense workout. And see, like, how is my body handling this strain in a fasted state? Don't pass out at the match.
All right. Next question. Combat grip versus teacup. I'm not really sure, like, they want our thoughts on it. Like, what's the difference between it?
So, it's obviously harder over podcast to show versus, like, a video. So, if the question is, what is the difference between the two? a teacup grip is very outdated. It is, you're holding the gun with your dominant hand, and your support hand, just like a cup, is placed underneath the butt of the gun where the magazine would be, or the butt of the revolver, which is not assisting you in steadying the gun. It is not assisting you in managing the recoil. It is literally just a saucer for
shoot a whole match teacup.
Well, you could shoot one-handed and it would be the same. Just putting your hand up there for show.
It's going to be kind of fun.
Do it with revolver.
Maybe we'll do it like Halloween's going to pass. I don't think we'll be able to shoot it. Could dress up like Barney Fife and do it. Barney Fife got a semi-auto. Woohoo!
And then the combat grip is more traditionally what most shooters are using now, which is support hand on the gun, very high, middle finger tucked up underneath the trigger guard, and the support hand in a C shape across the front strap over your dominant hand, and squeezing with your thumbs either stacked or one, you know, next to each other. Pointing forward on the side of the gun.
Or up.
There's many different directions the thumbs can be in. And, you know, some people layer their thumbs over one another. Some people tuck their dominant hand thumb under their support hand thumb. I would say there is no, like, right wrong for the thumbs. It's what's going to be comfortable for you. But the rest of the hand for the support hand and the dominant hand have to be correct for you to actually get the advantage of the combat grip. Managing your recoil. Mm-hmm. Keeping your sights down. I'm the worst person to talk about this, and I'm doing all the talking because I have the worst recoil management.
I mean, yours is not that bad.
It could be better. Next question.
Would you guys ever consider getting a roll sizer? Currently, no. Because
we got a brass guy.
Brass we get is already roll sized.
Right.
In the future, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah,
once we have a space large enough to where we're processing our own brass,
right,
then yes.
If you were MD for a nationals event, where would you host it?
Schultz.
Maybe if they put all those
Schultz
new bays
Rod and Gun Club.
Maybe once they put all those new bays in, yeah.
I know, I've only shot nationals once, but I've been to two nationals because I went with you to the one in Florida.
Universal.
So Universal and Talladega at CMP. I absolutely loved Universal. Like, I don't think I would be happier as a competitor with a layout any different. Like,
I agree. The layout of that range is awesome. The sun and how it comes up is not.
Right.
But having all the bays back-to-back is very cool.
It's essentially like an oversized version of the Brooklyn Sportsman's Club.
Yeah.
Like, cover in the middle, and bays all the way down on both sides.
Yep. Now.
And the big bay at the end. Remember that long steel shot? Oh, I did shoot there, because we shot there 2 years in a row, didn't we? 2020 is when you went solo, and you shot solo, and I went with you, and then 21 I shot.
Was it back at Universal? No.
No, I was only there once.
Maybe it was because
I had to leave.
I went there
because
it was the last
back.
Year they were shooting it at Universal.
Maybe it was because I had to leave.
Shut up.
And then come back.
Anyway, I haven't shot at SUPS in St. George, Utah, but it is, from what everyone tells me, a phenomenal range. And the fact that Vegas is very, very close, gives good places to stay, gives good entertainment for your half-day formats for nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of middle-ish of the country. Definitely more middle than Florida.
Right.
But there's also a few other places I wouldn't mind seeing it. I was just talking with a buddy of mine about how nationals could change. And I think the biggest problem is not so much the venues. I mean, there is obviously a lack of venues that could actually host a nationals. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest problems with hosting a nationals is all of the equipment and all of the walls. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if the organization as a whole had one or two semi-trailers that was completely loaded with walls, poppers, stands, props that would go throughout the country to host the nationals, whatever range.
That's smart.
Would also do all of the area matches wherever in different areas that can move around. And then even have that trailer accessible to clubs throughout the rest of the calendar year if they can schedule it. And make new clubs or allow new clubs to have first pick. So if they don't have props, they can kind of get a taste of what USPSA is at the club and not have to fork up all this money.
Kind of like a try before you buy thing.
Right.
I like that.
So I think
Tony for that, USPSA president.
Well, I think that could be kind of cool. You know, you just have one or two trailers. You mean to tell me you can't get together sponsors and be like, hey, Federal, you want to sponsor trailer one? And then, hey, whoever, you want to sponsor trailer two for this season?
Right. USPSA works with a number of companies that want to sponsor and support the sport.
So I think that would be kind of cool because it would allow nationals to be held in more places. Like, hey, we have all this place, but can we have enough props? Most places don't. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why, like, Talladega or Universal or SUPS, clubs that are very established, have a lot of props and stuff like that. It would give more opportunities elsewhere. Local to us, I think Aurora Sportsman's Club, once they finish the bays, that's big enough to host the nationals. It's not the best area for, like, hotels and ease to get to.
Right.
But it's close enough. I mean, Naperville has a ton of hotels, and it is not that far from the range.
No, not that far. We're
30 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, 30, 40 minutes.
So, plenty of hotels there. Mm-hmm. You could back up two semi-trailers, set it up, have an awesome nationals, pack those fuckers back up, and get ready for the next area match or the next nationals.
All right.
I think that would be kind of cool.
I like it. The EAA Gerson Optic Ready looks awesome. Do you think it could fit into USPSA at all?
I don't understand which one. It says Gerson one?
Well, we posted the picture of...
Oh, this one.
Of the Browning High Power.
Oh, and I gotcha.
This was in response to that picture, sorry. The EAA Gerson one, Optic Ready, looks awesome. Do you think it could fit into USPSA at all?
No.
No. But IDPA?
IDPA, it stands a better chance because of no one makes a proper extended mag for this gun. Apex has some coming out, but again, they're only like plus two or threes. Mm-hmm. And then you're at most talking about
19,
I think.
Yeah.
Would be like the most you can put in there. So you're at a disadvantage there. Not to say you couldn't shoot it and have fun. Mm-hmm. You could definitely do that. But I think you could definitely find a home port in IDPA. IDPA carry optics, 10 rounds. I think that'd be a fun alternative and a good time.
Yeah. It would be a good time. I enjoyed shooting that, the new one.
Oh, yeah. That thing shot great.
Mm-hmm. Would allowing optics on revolvers entice more people to shoot revolvers in USPSA?
No.
I don't think so either.
Mm-mm. If that was the case, you would see more of them in I-Corps. More people would gravitate to that if they wanted to shoot that. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't.
I agree. This is actually from the same person that put that question in. Tony, would you ever put a dot on your pocket revolver?
Pocket revolver? Probably not. Would I get a small frame revolver with a red dot? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just said it at the top of the show. I'd really want to try out one of the Tauruses that have the Toro, the
856 executive. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever they are. I don't remember what the other little small ones are.
Love the OG. I'm sorry.
Hmm.
Go on.
No, I just think for why I carry the revolver in a pocket is like my no excuse gun. And it's to literally fit in the smallest pockets that I have on like gym shorts or sweatpants. Mm-hmm. And a red dot on that would just make it harder. Okay. Now, I am trying out in the near future a red dot on a pocket gun, but it is not a revolver. So, I'll let you know then. My stance on that could change, I suppose, but either way you slice it, a red dot on a revolver kind of changes the overall footprint of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to make it a little too tall.
Yeah. Love the OG high power. I have fired the new ones as well from EAA.
They're P-35s.
A lot of people are really liking the EAAs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Springfield first came out with their P-35, is that what they call it, is the P-35?
What's that?
The Springfield one.
Oh.
that was the first of the copies to come out.
SA-35.
Of course it is. Springfield Armory. So when the SA-35 first came out, I remember that was the first of the copies to get released. And it was like, 2 months maybe? And it was like wildfire. It was like boom, boom, boom. All three of them. Then FN came out with theirs. EAA announced theirs and then finally came out with it.
Yeah, I don't really count the new FN. It's not a...
So the FN is the farthest from its true form.
It's not even close. It's really just, these are the bones, let's make a modern 21st century version of the high power.
Right.
These.
And they have two or three different levels of, like, plain and basic all the way up to tactical.
Yeah, but everything about it has changed. I mean, it's not, even the takedown's the same.
It doesn't use the same sights, the takedown's not the same, it doesn't have the magazine safety disconnect, which we both agree is a feature that it's better left without.
Sure.
But...
Which the Springfield does not have.
Correct. The only one that does is the EAA. Right. They're the only ones who followed true form to the exact blueprint of that original design. I think they did a good job.
I'm still waiting to get one.
Yeah. I keep looking at the wall.
That's so pretty. I do love my high power. It's such a good looking gun.
Okay, we have a couple CCCs.
Okay.
We have the Hellcat Pro,
okay.
Shield Plus,
okay.
And the SIG P365 Macro. I can tell you right now, we're probably both crushing the same gun.
I'm going to tell you right now that this needs to be changed because this doesn't seem like a fair CCC.
Because the Hellcat Pro and the 365 Macro are such large guns compared to the Shield?
No, because the Macro, isn't that the one with the comp?
Yes.
Wouldn't you just have to get what do they call the regular one? So now they sell the macro style gun with the XL upper. That is a more appropriate comparison. Because then you're not dealing with a compensated gun versus regular,
right.
Regular guns.
So, do you want to do this as though it didn't have a comp?
We'll do it both ways, I suppose.
So, I would be crushing the Hellcat Pro in either scenario. If it is the compensated one, that is the one I'll be carrying, and then I'll be competing with the Shield Plus. Because the comp doesn't have a place in USPSA.
Okay. So...
Not in the competitive division, right? I can shoot it in open.
We're actually not crushing the same gun. I'm crushing the macro either way.
Really?
Yep. I'm carrying the Shield Plus, because I love my Shield Plus, and I carry it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hellcat Pro I'm going to compete with, one, because Scott and the crew at Springer Precision makes extensions for the 17-round mags, so you can be in the almost competitive line. And have you shot the Hellcat Pro yet?
No.
It is miles different
than the regular Hellcat. I've been told that.
Yeah, when I first shot the Pro having the Hellcat, I'm like, this is not, it's going to suck. I'm not going to like it. And I shot it. I was like, all right, now it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Hellcat, even though it's snappy, it's a gun I hate admitting I actually like. And that's probably the most abused gun in our little armory.
I mean, that's I think the only gun you've ever willingly handed me and said, here, drop this.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's abused.
Yeah, super abused.
Any little optic that comes in usually gets put on the Hellcat. Mm-hmm. Which usually involves Jackie tormenting it, torturing it.
Pushing it to
its can't find a hammer? No big deal.
I found cement. if the 365 didn't have a comp, that is the one I would compete with, for sure.
I could see that.
And then carrying the Shield Plus.
I do find it a little funny. Do you know anybody that's come out with macro extensions yet?
There is a company... No, not extensions, no.
It was within weeks that the Hellcat had extensions.
Yeah.
Weeks. How long has the macro been out? A year?
Yeah, almost a year. Yeah. It got announced just before SHOT, because if you remember, between Christmas and SHOT, we were saving money for SHOT. And I really, really, really wanted the macro, because this was before Bamalam slide. And I said, when we get back from SHOT, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save up. I'm going to buy that gun. And before we even left, the law changed.
Yeah.
So then it kind of took away my opportunity to get it. So, I did the next best thing. Kept my little 10-round gun and threw the slide on top. So sad.
We got a couple interesting CCCs here that aren't guns, but kind of objects.
Mm-hmm.
So, CCC, Carry, Compete, Crush. Not really sure how we're going to do this with targets, but this will be interesting. The Paper Targets Edition. USPSA Target, IPSC Target, or the PCSL Target. You don't know what the PCSL Target looks like, do you?
I know we've talked about it, but I cannot
remember. So, if you take a USPSA upper target and put a IPSC lower target on it.
Oh, I see. So, shoulders and a turtle body.
Yeah.
Turtle. That's kind of looks like a heart long distance. So, paper targets.
So, what are you going to, I guess, what would be your target you could only train on? What would be the target you're going to burn? And what would be the target that you could only compete on?
I would do compete on the USPSA.
Okay.
And I would train on the PCSL. Oh. Because it is a good training module, just smaller scale, less room for error, I feel like, to train for USPSA targets. And then IPSC, goodbye.
See, I really, really love IPSC turtle targets.
So do I, but if we had to make a correlation between, like, training and
match time. I know, which is, I think I'm actually going to do the same thing as you. I'm going to compete with a USPSA target, burn the IPSC target, because technically I kind of have that with the PCSL target.
Right.
So, same. Samesies.
Samesies. Twinsies. The next one, oh my gosh.
is the moving target edition.
Swingers, bobbers, and drop turners. Drop turners, by far my favorite.
Really? So,
whatever the compete version of that's going to be, right? And the one that I would train on would be bobbers, because I'm terrible at them.
At the bobber?
I constantly chase them and then hit the hard cover in front of them.
Okay.
Swingers, like, I've gotten used to, if it's fast, if it's slow, hit another target, come back to it, or no, I have to hit it right away, like getting to know my own pace. I'm getting way better with swingers. I could improve most with the bobbers, so I would train on bobbers and then compete on drop turners, because those are my favorite.
I'm going
except
to...
Except for setting them. Huge pain in the ass. Gone.
I'm going to train on swingers, and I could... Either or bobbers or drop turners.
You have to make a choice. Something must burn.
I guess I like the dynamics of a drop turner better. So I would get rid of bobbers. Because to me, those are just... Yeah. I've only ever seen one bobber that was interesting. And that was actually at Universal. Where we had to shoot through the little circle. But everything else was steel. And the bobber was behind it. And you could barely see it. Well, you didn't shoot at it. It was the Nationals you were at with me.
Yeah.
That's
saw
the only time
so
I've
I
seen
saw
a...
it, but only through the lens of a camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more. One more Target one.
All right. This is hardcover.
The hardcover Target edition.
Tuxedo, head box only, slant. All at 15 yards or more.
Okay.
So the head box only one is just going to the garbage.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Burn it. Burn it to the ground. The slant is the one I would train on because that A zone is so very tiny. And I feel like I need to learn that taking a B, or not, well, we don't have B anymore. Taking a C zone hit, instead of taking double the time to acquire that tiny little triangle of the A, is going to serve me better in the long run. Right, so center mass of the brown is what you should be aiming for, not the A zone that's you're barely seeing. So training for me personally, I would keep the slant to train with, and I would compete all the other tuxedos.
Okay. So I would kind of agree with what you were saying. I would have kept the slant targets for competing if they weren't at 15 yards. At 15 yards, you're doing exactly what you said. You're aiming at the center of brown. If it was closer, then we could make the argument of like, no, we should really try and go for the A here.
Mm-hmm.
But at 15, I'm not going for it. Maybe Eric Raffel is. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. To me, the tuxedo... So, I'm actually going to burn the tuxedo. Just because I don't see it as like, yes, it's a challenge. But it's still like, you still have the entire A zone. Like, and the head. Like, if we're going to have a challenging target, let's have a challenging target and let's do, like, a head box.
At 15 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say it can't be done, but it's far less racy feeling.
Yeah, but that's the challenge. But now it comes down to skill because now you have an actual A zone, but you also have a C zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so... That's what I would do.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. All right. The very last one. I was saving this one for the last. I don't know if you saw that. I purposely skipped it earlier because I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So we are going to get a list of all of the divisions. And this particular question is... It reminds me a lot of like some of like the videos like, oh, what does your carry gun say about you? Like, well, if you carry a, Glock, probably thinking that this is the best. It's the best ever. So those type of videos. This came in. The question is, I'm sorry. What does the division you shoot say about your driving attitude? Do all divisions. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. Okay. So, we are going to start with open.
Go ahead.
You buy only the best race cars and then have to fine-tune the shit out of everything. And no matter who you pull up to, even if it's Granny, you're gonna rev your engine.
You think that's open? See, I think open would be...
Are we going to have to come back to you?
Yeah. See, my open guns would disagree with you because, like, you buy the best of everything, and then you look at Tony's open guns and go, sometimes. I think open is more like you're a gentleman driver. Where, and I say that in the racing term, so if you don't know what that means, that's a guy that you pay money to race real race cars against real racing drivers that have earned their way to the top. That's what I think open is. You want to go fast. You'll pay all the money you want to be in the fastest thing possible. I think that's open.
Okay. Limited. I feel like limited drives, the like heavy duty V8 dually pickup truck for major power factor. Okay. And gets all the chicks.
Okay. I would say limited is definitely like a muscle car owner.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where it's, you know, it's not that crazy riced out racy stuff. You know, just give me an old big block and some tires is all we need. No red dots, none of that stuff.
Okay, I see that. Limited optics. If you guys go and look at our Instagram post from today asking for questions, this question is going to be in the comments. With this question, there is a GIF posted as a comment to explain to us what that person believes limited optics shooters are like in the car. It's hilarious, and you should absolutely go and look.
Oh, that wasn't for limited optics, was it? That was for limited 10.
I don't know now, because you didn't take my notes, you made your own.
Clearly my notes are better. Are we doing lim ops?
We are doing lim ops. Oh, it is L10 drivers. That's funny as shit.
Alright, what's your lim op answer?
Lim ops... I'm going to let you go first on this one, because I need to think.
So, I think lim ops, sticking with the theme that it's a muscle car driver, but it's a muscle car driver that has embraced technology. Where they have
Apple CarPlay.
Apple CarPlay. They have turbochargers, you know, fuel injection. They've embraced technology to have it make their gun or their ride better. Mm-hmm. This is hard to do on the spot.
I'll one-up you.
Okay.
My super-duper pickup truck, he just put a tow hook on the back because he feels like that's going to carry him all the way to the end, the finish line.
I don't get it.
Like, he needs the help. Like, he's there, the hook, in case he gets stuck. It's his aide, his assistant, his crutch.
Oh. What?
Watch too much Cars with Tow Mater. Oh. Yes. It made sense in my head when I was coming up with it.
How does it make sense now?
It's not.
Okay.
Hope everyone on the other end is just as confused as you are. It's amusing to me.
Limited 10? Limited 10?
Limited 10. Limited 10.
Focus!
Is actually driving around Dawn State Street and stopping at the red lights on a pogo stick.
What? I'm gonna say... limited 10, generally seen to be an expensive car, so I'm going to say it is the type of person that put all their money on the line and decided to get a Mercedes from a questionable dealer on the corner, and it is currently sitting in the impound lot.
Hmm. Or the guy who wanted that super, super heavy-duty pickup truck with the dualies. Put all his money into that and realized how expensive it is for gas, and now he can't put a full tank in.
No, not a full tank. I like the pickup truck one. He does all this work to it, jacks it all up, all the chrome, all the horns, all the lights. Can't afford to put properly big tires on, so he's got itty bitty little tires.
Little Civic tires?
Yes, that's L10.
Okay.
Production.
That's funny. Honda Civic.
Honda Civic? How dare you?
No?
I would have said Toyota Camry.
Is there like there's like a million of them, yeah, right? Like both. You see them everywhere on the road. There's so many of them.
I don't remember which one it is.
It's the guy that walks out of the parking lot and has to use his key fob because there's 10 of them in a lot to find his own car.
That was my thinking. I can't remember if it's Corolla or Camry. It's the number one selling car in the world, but that was my thought behind it. It works.
Right.
It works so well that you fuckers keep trying to change it. Carry optics.
Carry optics. Carry optics is the Tesla.
Really?
It is a very new thing. It is something that a lot of people very recently got into.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trendy type thing.
Okay.
Right?
Keep going.
And all the cool kids have one.
No, they don't.
All the cool kids are shooting, like, pre-lim ops. Oh, everybody. Look at the Carry Optics Nationals.
Yeah, but that's why I think, like, man, I'm going to have to come back to Carry Optics. Because actually, PCC, to me, is Tesla.
Really?
It's any electric vehicle. Because as much as you guys think it's the future, it's not.
Still not a real car.
And you're stupid.
Okay, I will give you Tesla, and we will come back to Carry Optics together. Because that was actually made a lot more sense.
Revolver?
It's
real simple to me. This is the guy that thinks that he can drive his Ford Model T everywhere.
I was going to say, like the old, like, 78 Cadillacs. Or the Buicks.
Mm.
Like, late 70s, early 80s. And you still see him occasionally on the road and grandma's behind the wheel doing 15 under in the right lane. Go around!
Single stack.
Same. I'm kidding! I love you, Noel, I'm so sorry. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Alright, so I have the perfect thing for single stack. So to me, single stack is every third gen Camaro out there. Because when they were new, you thought they were cool. And maybe they were, because that was the coolest thing that you've seen so far, because it was new. And then as the years progressed, you thought, you know what? This is still the coolest fucking car on the planet. And everyone else is telling you, it's not now, and it never was.
You're very good at these. Have you had enough time to muster the thoughts? Are we going back to Carry Optics?
We can, but what did you choose for Carry Optics? I'm stuck on Carry Optics.
Carry Optics, I originally had said Tesla, because all the cool kids are getting in. It was very trendy.
Outside of
Open, it was the first time the non, you know, $3,000 gun category had a chance to shoot optics.
So, I'm going to say, and only because we're doing this on the spot, maybe we should take the time and do like a full video on this for like YouTube. Awesome. But on the spot, I'm going to say Carry Optics is like the Dodge Charger / Challenger owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've just now discovered that, holy crap, I can get a really big V8. It makes amazing noises, does burnouts, and is very, very fast. And it's not that expensive. This is the race car. It's not really a race car, though. It gives you that
adrenaline and the
boner. The word you're looking for is boner. Yes.
Of a race car.
It's boner.
Gives you the feels of a race car.
100%. Ask any guy. It's 2023. Ask some girls.
Fine, it gives you a boner. You heard it here first,
oh
folks.
Oh, my God. that's it for this show. Guys, as always, we love you. We thank you very much. If you need to reach out to us, it is pewtimepodcast@gmail.com or @laughandload on any of the social medias. That's laugh, haha, the letter N, and load, like load the magazine or...
Load the washer, dryer.
What? Or loaded, like Jackie is apparently sounding right now. Load what?
They load like a washer or a dryer, but only the ladies listening will understand that.
Which is like 0.2%. Guys, if you wouldn't mind, rate, review the podcast. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.